Okay. So now plugging it all together. And this is something I found out the hard way. Again, my first experience with a 02W. There's two micro USB connectors on the bottom. The left one, or I'm sorry, my other left. The right one, looking at the board from the top, the right connector is power only. Power only. There's no data connection there. Yeah, because I had these connectors reversed and I was chasing my tail for a week figuring it, trying to figure out why none of this stuff worked. Interestingly, you can power the Pi through the second port, but none of the other, it creates a lot of havoc. There's a reason they dedicated one port just for power, and that'll save you a lot of steps right there. So power. And this is a micro to just conventional USB-A. And I learned that when you can see the connector, if you can see the two little holes, the little square holes on top, there's a couple of bumps on the bottom of the connector that match. So you don't have to sit there and do If you can see the connector, you already know how it's supposed to plug together. All right, so that's step one, getting a power cable connected. All right, again, left is power, no other connectivity. Okay, then the next one to go in is the AIOC that goes into the left port. Okay, then that's it. That's it for prep work. It's done. Now you want to power up the Pi.
No.
And the first thing you want to do is go into whatever device you're using, phone, tablet, PC. Go to your Wi-Fi connections, and it could take upwards of a minute the very first time you start the Pi up, because the first thing the Pi is going to do when it starts up, it's going to look at how big its software image is versus how big the card is, and it's gonna grab the entire space on that card. It's gonna reset the file system. So your Pi is gonna start up, it's gonna churn for a little bit, it's gonna shut back off again, and then it's gonna start up again. That's doing its internal housekeeping. Basically, it's backing up the moving van to the SD card, dumping all its stuff and getting stuff in the right spaces. So, minute and a half, 2 minutes could be, I don't know, I would say 5 minutes could maybe not be an unreasonable amount of time to wait on first boot. But then you look on your device, phone, tablet, or PC, and you look in your Wi-Fi networks, and you'll see one called DigiPi. Select that one. There's one caveat here that I forgot to put on the slides. When you connect to it, since you're connecting to the Pi, there's no. Everybody's familiar with on a web browser, you type google.com, amazon.com. So the thing that takes those English words and maps them to IP addresses, which is how the internet runs, that's called DNS. Well, Pi doesn't have a DNS server in it. So you have to know when it starts up how to connect to, how to basically open up your web browser so you can see the Pi. Try digipi.local first. If that doesn't work, then you need to plug the actual IP address in, which, if you have the display on, this is one advantage for having this display is worthwhile. On the front, the Pi will tell you what its IP address is. So it makes it super easy. If you don't remember digipi.local, you'll see 10.0.0.5 on the front here. Just type that into your web browser, and that'll get you to the Pi.
Connecting to the network, it wants either a PIN or a password.
Oh, sorry. I was getting a little punchy when I was doing these slides last night. The password. This is very, this is super highly secret. This is burned before reading.
Yeah.
The password is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J.
Wow.
All lowercase.
All lowercase. So now you've all sworn a blood oath to secrecy and death before you disclose that password.
You get to sing the song.
Yeah, just get one of your, yeah, if you have trouble remembering, get one of your grandkids to do it. Okay, so once you're there, this is the first screen you see. And again, I was getting a little punchy last night, so I circled one too many things here. The little part down here that says Wi-Fi, you want to click that Wi-Fi button before you do anything else with the pod. Okay. Oh, there we go. All right, click on the Wi-Fi button, and then this is the next thing you're going to see. And that's my home network SSID. If any of you are science fiction nerds, you know who the Dorsai were. But basically, your home Wi-Fi SSID, and then type the password in. I had a problem setting one of these up the other day at Cooper Hospital because Cooper's Wi-Fi network has a portal rather than just a singular username and password. This does not support portals. So if you're in that situation, get on Wi-Fi, you're a little bit hosed. But for we're setting this up at home, put your home Wi-Fi in there, and there's a reason. There's a very good reason. Once you hit submit, that'll basically store that value in the Pi, and then you hit restart. First thing that's going to happen as the Pi restarts, your Wi-Fi connection is going to drop. Your phone, tablet, computer is going to say, hey, we just lost our Wi-Fi connection. That's okay. And most of the time, phones and tablets will revert to the last Wi-Fi connection they had. So it'll reconnect to your home network. After a couple minutes, guess what? The DigiPi will show up on your home network too. This is not strictly necessary, but this makes your life easier in the configuration phase. And again, if you take your Pi out to the field where it can't see your home network anymore, it reverts to Wi-Fi hotspot mode.
You had multiple Wi-Fi, like if I come to the clubhouse and I have multiple...
Not easily. In that case, I would suggest, since SD cards are so cheap, have one for each location. Okay. Enter your credentials, submit, restart, pile disconnect. And then when you see the Pi get done flashing and the green light's on steady, it's done its startup. On your local network, you should be able to just type digipi.local in your web browser to get to this, the initialization page. If it doesn't, if you have the display on the front, it'll tell you what the IP address is. You can connect to the IP address directly. So you have a couple ways to skin that cat. And not that I have anything against cats. So at the bottom of this screen, it's actually below these choices here, you'll see a green one that says initialize. Click initialize. And that gets you to here. So because now we're connected to our home Wi-Fi and the internet is available, there's a bunch of things here on this side, the right side, that are in blue, so they're hyperlinks, that can make your setup super easy. So you type your call sign in. If you don't already have a WinLink account, click that button. It'll take you to the WinLink page. where you can establish a Winlink account. Basically, you register your call sign and you assign yourself a password. To get information into the APRS internet system, you can pull information out of APRSIS all day long. Doesn't require any registration. But if you want to put information into the APRS internet system, you need a password. You click on the little generate button, it takes you to a web page, type in your call sign. There's an algorithm that takes your call sign and creates what they call a hash. And that hash is a series of numbers, and that's your password. So it's basically one button. Click generate, takes you to the web page, type your call sign in. It tells you what your password is, type the password in. It's all numeric, and it's 5 digits. Click your grid square. If you know it, great. If not, click the find button. It'll help you establish your grid square. Same with your lats and longs. Click the locate button. It'll take you to a web page that'll help you figure out what your lat and longs are. GPS device for a Pi 02W, this is really hard to use. But for Pi 3, 4, 5, where you've got multiple USB ports that are not just power, if you've got, there's some USB pucks that are super cheap. U-Blocks is probably the most common one. If you plug a U-Blocks GPS in on a Pi 3, 4, or 5, then it'll know that it's got a GPS, and it'll start a service in the background called GPSD that continues to read it. So now your DigiPi knows where it is. That can enable some other features if you've got the horsepower of Pi 3, 4, or 5. For a Pi 2, and what we're doing today, we're going to rely on your phone or tablet to give us the GPS information. So not as big a deal, but if you want to do some other things with a more capable Pi, that is an option. AX25 node password, just leave that. You know, you can type in anything you want. I just leave it at the default, ABC123. Default mode. Now, this is interesting. What default mode will allow you to do is set the Pi so that when you power it up, it automatically goes to that state. For a 02W, I recommend you set the default mode to APRS TNC. That way you don't have to sit here and try and log into the thing to set it up. Plug it in, power it up, and start looking either on Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. And all of a sudden you see a TNC and you can use your APRS applications with it. Screen type. It defaults to this ST7789, which is this little guy right here. There's two other bigger Pi displays. If you're using a Pi 3 or Pi 4, it tells you the pixel size and you can pick it from there. What'll happen is if you don't have the right display picked, the writing on the display will be reversed. It'll be mirrored. So it's not the end of the world, because there's a way you can see what goes out on the display via the web browser. In fact, I don't know if it's a mini or a micro HDMI on the side of the 02W. So you could, in fact, plug a monitor in if you've got the right cable and see all this stuff. You can't really plug a keyboard in and interact with it, but you can see everything that's going on with the Pi. For something this small, I find the little display is a lot easier to give me access to information. And then you select your radio interface, defaults to AIOC, which is what we need in this case, but there's like a dozen interface selections here, depending on, like, let's say you've got a Yaesu FT818 and you're going to use a DigiRig with it. Well, that's one of the selections is DigiRig. And what it does, it tells the Pi that, hey, the DigiRig is my sound card, but the DigiRig is also my RS-232 interface to do cat control on the radio. This is not set up for, well, the these are not set up for cat control, but there is a serial connection because you can also use this AIOC cable. If you have Chirp, you can use this AIOC cable and Chirp to program a Baofeng radio. So plug it in, plug one connector in, turn on Chirp. You can program these to your to the cows come home. Now, the caution here is, I didn't put the cautionary tale. Let's try this again. The cautionary tale is, you get one try at this. If you don't answer the questions correctly, you can't go back and change them. This is a one-time initialization, which is why I suggested make a couple of SD card images. That way, if you mess this up, you can put a new one in and start again. So it's not the end of the world. It's just, this bit me on more than one occasion. So I should have put a note on here in large glowing red letters that you get one try at. You can change a couple of those parameters after the fact, but you have to be comfortable in Linux terminal. And that kind of defeats the whole purpose of the DigiPi. So in this case, if you make a mistake, just pop a fresh card in and start again.